There are times when a reporter is no longer covering the news, but is instead making it. And for much of the past year, Channel 5 anchorwoman Ann Allred's story has been Ann Allred. Ann Allred and her daughter, Nora. You probably know the story. Last summer, in her 28th week of pregnancy, Ann gave birth to Nora. She came into this world 3 months premature, weighing just under 2 pounds. It led to months of neonatal intensive care for Nora and the discovery that Ann was in final stage renal failure. She needed a new kidney, and she got one. This is National Donate Life Month, and now that she and Nora are doing well, Ann Allred joins us in studio. So nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Don. Good to be here.
It's quite a story. I know people were transfixed, I know, for a good many months through all of this. How would you describe that period of your life, those months? I guess it was last August that Nora was born?
She was born last May. She was supposed to be born in August.
Okay.
And so she was spent 96 days in Children's Hospital's NICU. And I found out in July through a blood test. They called me when I was in the NICU room at Children's with my daughter, and they said, "You're in kidney failure. Go to the emergency room." And I had felt awful, but I thought, you just had a baby, an emergency C-section. Maybe you just feel awful because of that, and you're exhausted, and your baby's in the hospital, and every day is so stressful. But that obviously wasn't the only reason why I felt so bad. And to describe those months, I feel now that I'm getting some distance from it all, I cannot believe that it happened. I feel like I dipped into somebody else's life and then came back out of it. It seems surreal, and it was, just to be frank, miserable and horrible and very hard on our family. And I'm just so lucky that we got through it.
Taking care of a baby like Nora, having gone through what she went through, when you're going through this sort of thing that you had to confront, it had to be just excruciating.
Well, I think at that point, when you're faced with something like this, and there's so many other people who are facing things far worse than what I faced. But everybody has something. And I think when you're faced with those kind of things, you don't have any choice but to keep going, right? And that's what I told myself. And I had my daughter to keep going for. And I felt I was put into emergency dialysis. They took me into the OR. They put tubes in my stomach that would attach to this dialysis machine. But usually they let you heal for 2 or 3 weeks after the tubes go in. But with me, they couldn't wait. I started dialysis pretty much the next day. And after I had to sit in a dark room for 9 hours a day for 3 weeks in that emergency dialysis period, I was so sick. I was in a wheelchair. And when I would get done at 5 o'clock, if I had the strength, and most of the days I'd make myself, I'd drive down to Children's and spend an hour or two with Nora, because she was such a bright spot during that time, and it made me feel better at the end of that day.
A reason to go on, obviously.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
Explain, if you would, what dialysis is. I'm not sure that everybody knows what that process involves.
Right. I don't think most people do. So there are two types. There's peritoneal dialysis, and then there's hemodialysis. So hemodialysis is when you go to a center 3 times a week for 4 or 5 hours, and they kind of plug a machine into a port in your upper chest, kind of collarbone area, and they clean your blood. Because when your kidneys don't work, your kidneys filter your blood and take all the poisons out from the food and drink that we consume. And the peritoneal dialysis, you have tubes put into your stomach, and solution goes in. So I had 2 liters of solution go into my stomach for about 45 minutes and then gets pulled out, and then two liters more, and then it comes out. And so it's 10 liters over time, and it takes about 8 hours. And you have a machine at home. So you plug into this machine at home that helps clean your blood. And that solution goes in, kind of seeps through all your organs in the center of your body and sucks the poison out that way. And it was better for me because she came home in August. She was sleeping in a little crib next to me, and I was on this machine. And that way I could take care of her and be with her. I couldn't really go to a clinic 3 times a week for 5 hours when you have a newborn. So it worked for me.
How is she?
She's doing great. I can't say enough about the people at Children's Hospital and the NICU. It is such a special place. It's terrifying because you're there But what a team. Those nurses are brilliant. And obviously the neonatologists were wonderful to us. But she's doing great. We just had her physical therapist over this morning, and she is receiving some therapy just to make sure that she's on course. But she's doing very well. We are so blessed.
What does the therapy involve?
It's just tracking her, basically. So she is a physical therapist and an occupational therapist. It's First Steps, which is a great program. It's a state program that she qualified for because she was born so early. And they come, and like today, we were on the ground kind of seeing if she's sitting. So now we're trying to make sure that she's not having any preemie posture and just monitoring things. But it makes me feel good because every couple of weeks somebody comes in the house and says, she's okay.
Yeah.
And I go, whew, thank the Lord that she's all right.
What does she weigh now?
She's probably about 16 pounds. We haven't weighed her in a while,
wow.
But I think 16 pounds. And she's going to be almost 1 year.
Oh, boy.
In a couple weeks.
Well, happy birthday to Nora.
Thank you.
And how is Anne?
I feel like I got a new battery. That's the best way to describe it. I feel like somebody ripped my battery out and I got a new one. I am forever indebted and thankful to my friend who gave me his kidney, and he's doing great. Back on the golf course, back to fishing, which are very important to him.
Uh-huh.
And he saved my life. But I feel like I see Anne again. I felt like she went away for months and months and months, and just that person was gone. And now I feel like she's back.
To tell our listeners the story of your friend and this whole process that led to your new kidney.
Well, I was so sick, and I was not even thinking. I went into Barnes the day that we took Nora home from the NICU. They said we could come and take her home around 5 o'clock at night, and that whole day I spent at Barnes Jewish Hospital getting worked up and testing done to get on the kidney transplant list, which has about 1,000 people on it just at Barnes alone.
Wow.
Obviously,
oh.
SLU does transplants, Cardinal Glennon, Children's. Yeah. I was so sick I wasn't thinking, oh, I need to see if I can find someone to give me a kidney. My brother got tested and they decided I couldn't have a genetic – I couldn't have a family member give me a kidney because it was a genetic disorder, and they thought it might trigger the disorder in a family member. So I thought, oh, well, that's great. And my husband was talking to one of our friends, Brian Taki, and he said, yeah, she's really sick, or she's in kidney failure. And he said, well, does she need a kidney? And he said, well, as a matter of fact, she does. He said, well, I'll get tested for her. And Brian works with Mike Zingara, and Brian went to work and told Mike about it. And Mike said, well, I'll get tested for her. So unbelievable. I mean, it was really the first people that found out from us because we were just in a vortex of just a mess. And they both got tested. Brian was not allowed because our blood kind of fought in the petri dish. Huh. And Mike just kept passing these tests and kept going forward. And it takes a couple months to work up a person all the way to the end. And he called me on November 28th and told me, I've been approved. I can give you my kidney.
Yeah.
And I started crying and laughing all at once.
Did this move you up in line at all because you kind of personally found somebody who would make this donation?
What do you mean move me up in line?
Well, there are 1,000 people waiting for kidneys.
So that's for cadaveric.
Okay.
So there's 1,000 people waiting for kidneys from someone who's passed away and donated their organs.
I see.
And then if you find a friend or family member who directly wants to donate to you, then that's what happens.
Totally different.
Right,
totally different kind of process then.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did it take between the time you found out he was a match and the surgery took place?
About 2 months. So found it November 28th. We had the surgery on January 24th. Mm-hmm. And it's a minimum of 6 to 8 weeks before they can schedule it once you find out. And Mike was anxious to do it. He said, golf season and fishing season are coming up and I want to get this done.
Well, good for him. That is really quite a commitment and quite a friendship.
Unbelievable.
To make something like that happen. Did you think you would ever go back to work again?
Which time?
I
had a couple.
Either time.
Well, now that I'm away from it and looking back, like I said, in the rearview mirror, I don't know how I was working. Mm-hmm. I went back to work in October and worked right up to the surgery in January. And at the end of the night, I could barely climb a flight of stairs to get to my car. everything seemed like Mount Kilimanjaro. I just don't know how I was doing it. But I remember telling myself daily, you love your job. You're going to get better. You're going to want this job when you get better. So make it.
Mm-hmm. I want to come back to that in just a moment. But I also want to invite listeners to get into the conversation with Ann Allred. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org. Or if you would prefer to send a tweet, you can do so at STL on air. You had a lot of support in the workplace for what you were going through.
I did. Mike Bush was wonderful to me. Kay Quinn, all the reporters and anchors texting me, asking me how I was doing. My boss was understanding. My general manager was understanding and encouraging.
You know, I've thought as you were going through this, you were relatively new to the job. So, of course, you are a St. Louisans, but relatively new to this job. How that must have impacted you to have this kind of interruption when everything was going so well, all of a sudden everything stops and your whole world changes. Just curious as to the thought processes that you were experiencing about that.
Honestly, that was not an issue for me. My priorities changed. My priorities have forever changed. Mm. I was so sick. I was so worried every day about my baby running into that NICU room, wondering what's gone wrong. Has anything changed? Is she going to be okay? And the NICU nurses are very careful not to promise that a baby's going to be okay because they say things can change in 30 minutes. Hmm. Baby can be fine and then not be fine. Hmm. So we're always worried about her, and I just could barely wake up and get out of bed in the morning. So worrying about my job was just not a priority. Yes, it was unfortunate, but I just thought to myself, if I can get better, I don't care what happens. I don't care. I'll work it out. Just let me be better, please, is all I kept thinking.
Does it change you, do you think, in terms of your approach to your work and to your approach to reporting, your approach to people?
It has, almost in a disabling way. Mike Bush said to me the other day, he said, you know, you're just a different Ann now. Mm. He said, every other day I turn around to look at you after a story and you've got tears in your eyes and you're crying. My empathy level is, I'm just so sensitive to people who are suffering and sensitive to health problems and sensitive to babies and children that are having problems with their health and the parents who are so scared about it and dealing with it, and it takes such strength. And it just makes me want to cry. I just want to cry a lot when I'm doing my job. And that doesn't bode well to have your eyes filled with tears whenever they come back to you. But it's hard. It's hard to digest all of this. I used to have some pretty good calluses because they're necessary when you're a journalist, I think. Otherwise, it would be pretty hard to do your job. But those kind of disappeared. And I cry a lot in interviews with people now. I just talked to a woman the other day, and she was crying, and I was crying. And I think it's a good thing, but I'm just very, very sensitive.
I wonder if it changes the way you ask questions. You talk about doing interviews. You know, we in this business over the years have been trained to ask, how does it feel when people are going through the worst imaginable kinds of things? It's a terrible question.
It's a terrible question.
It should not be asked, but it does get asked. And I'm guessing that that's not one that you're going to be asking ever again.
Probably not. But you never know how somebody feels, and I never want to guess.
Yeah.
But I would be asking some different things, yeah.
Different in a different way.
Yeah.
Let's take a call. We've got Tom in Webster Groves who wants to talk to Ann Allred, so let's let him do so. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the air.
Hi, Ann and Don. I have two quick questions. One, are you on a ton of rejection meds, or has that gotten better? And the second question is, who pays for the part of the surgery of your friend? Does his insurance cover that, or is that part of your insurance?
Well, donors are there. Everything involved with being a donor is billed to the recipient's insurance. At least I can only speak to Barnes Jewish Hospital, but their transplant team works very closely with the insurance company. And if there's any speed bumps, so to speak, they usually are able to work it out with them that things get approved. But there's also some great financial coordinators at Barnes Jewish Hospital that make sure that the donor never pays one red cent. And then as far as the rejection meds, I am on a ton of them. I'm actually at a point where I'm too immunosuppressed right now, so we're backing off on some. But I've been pretty lucky. I haven't had really any side effects from them. A lot of people do. But it's only been 3 months. Actually, 3 months today since my surgery. Oh. But I kind of have to be careful in the next from months 3 to 6, you're most immunosuppressed. Luckily, it's going to be May, June, and July, not December, January, and February. But yes, I am on a lot of them, and steroids, and still on a little blood pressure medication. But it really hasn't been too bad, and I'll take it. I'll take anti-rejection meds all day long if I feel better.
That's great. Thanks.
Yeah, Tom, thanks.
Thank you for calling, Tom. Is this something you're going to have to live with now for the rest of your life, these medications?
Yes, I'll be on them forever.
Wow. Well, that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
Well, again, like I said, it's nothing compared to what I felt like.
You're committed now to helping people understand not only what you've gone through, but the fact that there is a need out there for organs. What is your role going to be now as you see it in these terms?
Well, I've talked with my bosses, and I'm highlighting a lot of donors and recipients, and we're going to get into some other issues about organ donation. I don't think that a lot of people are aware of the intricacies of it all, and it's just such a beautiful thing. And we are, to quote the head of the kidney and pancreas transplant surgical team at Barnes Jewish, Dr. Jason Wellen, we are in dire need of organs. 119,000 people in the country need them. There are a lot of babies at Cardinal Glennon and at Children's Hospital right now that need them. And, you know, you've got living donation, and then you have donation after death. And when someone passes away, they can save up to 8 lives. Mm-hmm. And then there's also tissue that can help people as well. I mean, there was an Olympic gymnast that got some tissue cartilage, knee cartilage tissue donated by someone and went on to be an Olympic gymnast.
It's amazing what they can do. I mean, they can take bits and pieces from just about every part of your body and help somebody in that way. By the way, as we're talking about your involvement, you are going to be, I guess, the celebrity in charge of a walk on the 29th?
Yes, it's this Saturday. It's for Mid-America Transplant, which is – the best way to describe it is kind of the go-between clearinghouse for organ and tissue donation between all 4 hospitals in our area that do those procedures. And it's a wonderful organization. They're so far ahead of so many other similar organizations across the country. And they are having their second walk at Creve Coeur Park. It's next Saturday. I'm going to be the MC. I'm going to bring Nora. We're going to walk in it. I'm really excited. It's a beautiful park. And we're going to really show our appreciation for all these donor families who have lost someone and have given this gift to other people.
Yeah. You know, last year during Donate Life Month, everything was fine in your life. Were you giving any thought, do you think, a year ago to the whole issue of organ transplant?
No, I wasn't. And I knew that my blood pressure was creeping up, and we knew I had preeclampsia. So they were talking about maybe putting me in the hospital with the baby, and that's what was going on in this time last year. I might have even been in the hospital by now. But no, I was not thinking about it. And it's been – even post-transplant, Don, I am learning new things about this that I didn't know.
I asked that question because most people don't give it any thought until they are confronted with something just like you were, or a family friend or relative or what have you. People should think about it when they get their driver's licenses. They should make that notation.
Well, and there's so many myths to it too, and there's a lot of miscommunication, and people have some misinformation, which I'd really like to change.
Is there some place they can go to really get the straight story from?
MidAmericaTransplant.org is a great place. UNOS.org, United Network of Organ Sharing, so UNOS.org is a great place to get those facts.
We'll put links to those on our website at STLPublicRadio.org. Time's winding down, but I want to get Sarah in. She's calling from St. Louis. Sarah, thanks for being with us, but if you would, make it quick, please.
Yes, hi, guys. I just wanted to say congratulations to Anne on your transplant.
Thank you.
And I just kind of want to make a small correction to an answer you gave when somebody asked about the cost. I'm a living donor. I donated about 2 years ago. And while all medical expenses are absolutely paid for by the recipient's insurance, any travel that may be involved is the responsibility of the donor.
Okay, well, thank you. My donor lived in St. Louis, so I did not experience that. And I actually just had this question asked when I was doing a Facebook Live with Dr. Wellen, and that's maybe something we didn't think about. So thank you for bringing that up.
Sarah, thank you for the call. We've only got a little over a minute left. Curious, and I'm sure a lot of people in the audience are wondering how you balance your life now as a mother and your life as an anchor woman at Channel 5.
I feel very lucky. I'm with my child in the morning, and then I go to work, and my husband takes over at when he comes home from work at about 5 or 6, and we make it work, and we have help from babysitter, and I feel fulfilled. I feel busy. I'm so glad I was able to get back to work. I'm so glad that I made it through those horrible months so that I could come back to my job. And Nora is the light of my life. She is she's amazing.
She would have to be. I'd also have to think that the work is therapeutic as well for you.
It is, because it's something that I have that's mine, that I do for me, and that I enjoy so much. And I think that makes me a better wife and a better mother.
All righty. Anything else you want to leave our audience with? A final thought about what you've been through and what you hope people will be thinking about following our discussion?
I think that when you meet somebody on the street or at work or wherever in your life, that everybody's got something. Everybody's dealing with something. So be kind to people and be sensitive and try and give them a break.
And be well aware that today everything may be fine and tomorrow things can change. So
that's right.
Right. Anne Allward, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations to you for what you've been through and the way you've handled it. And give Nora a nice hug when you get home for all of us here.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you so much. That's Anne Allward, of Channel 5. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.